Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Carol Kretschmann is making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about her journey in business, but how she's been able to use the platform that she has to be able to really make a difference in not only her own community, but literally around this country. She is the founder of the Peacemaker Corps Association. We're going to be talking to her not only about the work that they're being able to do with Peacemaker, but also what she's been able to do to give young people a voice. They have a very special event that's coming up for 2015. We're going to talk about it and let you guys know how you can be a part of it. But Carol, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Cyrus. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
The pleasure's definitely all mine, Carol. There's so much for us to be able to talk about with you, and, you know, there's so much that's been going on, as you know, in the news recently, and I just want to say for our radio audience especially, I haven't purposely talked about a lot of the hot-button issues that have been going on, especially when it comes to two particular cases. One, of course, is what's happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and then with the Mike Garner situation that happened in New York, and primarily it's because, you know, in this program, we're always trying to inspire people to uplift them, and I really wanted us, if we were going to have a conversation, really wanted us to do it in the right spirit. Carol is an individual who's not only found success in her life, but also has had heartbreaking loss. We're going to talk briefly about that. But what I really love about her platform is that she has really been able to move outside of herself and to think about other people in the work that she's been able to do. Carol, I want to talk to you first of all about that. I mean, what was it about you that made you want to work so hard on the behalf of others?
I think my mother taught me that when I was a little girl. It was sort of a funny thing to say because I am, you know, I grew up in privilege, which means we aren't immune to violence. And one of the things I learned from my mother when I was a young person was that you had to, if you do were born with privilege, and she was not, she came from the Depression, you have to give back.
Right.
And she was very interested in me being a debutante, which was not something in my wheelhouse. I would have, you know, I'm an athlete. I play tennis. I ski. But I did it because I really respected my mother and her views. And so it was a wonderful experience for me because I had to volunteer my time and help others in, the, you know, in a candy stripe way, you know. So I was volunteering at hospitals dealing with people who were ill. Well, that was something I did when I was very young, in my early teens. So it gave me a sense of goodwill that you get when you help other people.
Right, exactly.
And so it's been in my life, my DNA, for my whole life. And I always spend at least 30% of my time giving back, which is when, many years ago, almost 18 years ago now, I started the Peacemaker Corps. Because it was an offshoot of a business that I was running in California where we had a roller skating rink that I had designed and owned and operated, and the facility was located in the inner city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So our customer base was primarily teenagers who were of color. And that was an interesting experience because I found that when you bring those youth who are at risk most of the time and come from such difficulty, and you allow them to have fun in a safe environment where they feel like everyone else, they rise to the occasion. There's a change in their whole behavior. And if there isn't, we used to be very strict and wouldn't let them in.
Right.
So it's kind of a reverse. If you're good, you can come. If you're not, you have to be good to be able to be let back in. So no violence. Deal with one another with respect and civility. And it was amazing. That facility operated for 36 years in L.A. area. Even though I moved along to do other things with my business life, I had set the tone for that facility, and it only closed because the owners of the property sold it to a developer, and now they're going to put more shops on there, which is really sad because that means that those young people who were used to coming to that facility are now it's not available. And
right. The
other thing that happened, and then we'll move along, is that it became integrated by itself.
Mm.
It wasn't reinforced. Over the course of the years, everybody came and skated at the facility and interacted with one another colorblind.
Right. You know, I think that is one of the big things about what you're doing, and even with what's coming up next year for the Peace in the Streets Film Festival, Carol, is that, you know, it really is about acceptance, about welcoming others, and appreciating what people have to offer. Do you think that's been one of the problems, is that so many times we talk to young people but don't really listen to what they have to say?
Oh, yes, and even... It's so difficult even now with our video film festival to get those who are really need to get their message out to speak. They've been muted for so long, and I don't mean just this generation. You think about the fact that youth have felt for years and years and generations that they don't have a voice.
Right.
And they do, but having a voice is one thing. But giving them a bully pulpit is another, and that's what we have done with this festival.
Yeah, I think that is the real thing, and I think that's one of the great things about the work that you're doing. Carol, I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking today with Carol Kretschmann. She's an individual that has been able to make a name for herself, not only in business, but also with the great work she's been able to do that really is about evoking change. She's the founder of the Peacemaker Corps Association, as well as, of course, an individual who's been able to use her platform to give a voice to those who have felt as though they've been voiced, and to promote the importance of tolerance and peace. I want to talk about that aspect of it for a moment, Carol, of the work that you've been able to do and the impetus for, because, you know, tolerance and peace definitely are not something that people feel like is going on a lot today. You know, there seems to be such an unrest. And I have to say, it's really surprised me, you know, how it seems as though there has been this bubbling up over the years. And now we're seeing it, you know, not only in the way that people are, you know, are able to express themselves, which is always great to be able to have a voice, but the anger that's behind it. You know, what has it been like for you to kind of try to counter that, to teach us to come together and to talk to each other instead of at each other?
Well, the workshops we ran for many, many years under the founding of the Peacemaker Corps were funded by the Clinton Welfare to Work Program, so you know how long ago that was, and we've had a difficult 16 years since then. But we brought young people together from various public housing and suburban schools to meet, and we chose the malls as our venue because it was neutral territory, sort of like the way the roller skating rink was
right.
in the 70s and 80s in Los Angeles. And it was amazing because once we get a group of strangers together, and some who were not so strange because there were some places there were gangs who came together in our workshops and they were not friendly to one another until after they left. I saw a change, and I think the change is happening in the streets of New York and Cleveland and Ferguson. There's always going to be that rowdy people who act out in a violent way, but I saw a great deal of people of mix, not just people of color, but people of all colors, coming together and saying, this is enough. We are the people in this country. The law enforcement is people that we pay with our tax dollars.
Right.
Why is it that we're the victims? Why is it that we have become their target for violence? Is it because they came back from the war? I don't know if your listeners know, but I've done a lot of research on this, that in the early part of the wars that started under Bush administration after 9/11, that volunteers who came into the service were given a code of that they would leave the service and go immediately into law enforcement without any other testing or any other thing, you know, because of the training that they've gotten through the military. Well, that sounded great, and it was a good way to recruit the volunteer army that we had to build to go to the Middle East. But now that they're coming back, and there were millions of them there, maybe several million between all of the services, and going into law enforcement without any real new training, retraining, psychological testing, any of that happening to them, we don't know who's on the street that is in a uniform that we were taught, well, at least I was as a girl growing up, we're here to protect and serve.
Right.
So now you've got a cadre of militarily trained police officers and sheriffs who are patrolling our streets who maybe don't really understand their role in society.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lack of training. It's a lack of thought. It's a lack of the things that I'm teaching to youth, to talk to one another, to understand why a bully is bullying you, to build a community around you that's like and kind, that people that you know are more gentle and more interested in talking out a problem instead of going to a violence to solve their problem. That's something that I'm teaching the young people. Nobody is teaching the law enforcement folks in this country. And then on top of it, the government has thought that it would be great to get rid of all the old military stuff so they can buy new with our taxpayers' dollars. So they're giving it carte blanche to these law enforcement in cities. And again, they're not getting any training. They're not getting any, there's no list of what to do and when to do it and how to use it and why it's important to know that you're not doing this in an adversarial way, that the people on the street are not like, you're not in Afghanistan anymore, you're not in Iraq anymore, you're in
right.
the United States, these are our constituents, these are people who have legitimate rights to say what they want to say on there. We have a First Amendment that protects us, we have a Fourth Amendment that protects us. Why can't the police understand that? And the horror of looking at somebody die on the street in a video in 12 seconds, just think about how fragile our life is.
Exactly. Exactly. Such a good point. And I should say, because I did not mention this earlier, Carolyn, I think it definitely bears to be said, considering what you just said, that part of what Carol has been doing, and I mentioned, of course, what she's doing with young people and being able to teach tolerance and peace, she also has been an advocate for the demilitarization of the police department. And, you know, that is one of the issues that has come up, especially this year, Carol, as you know, with what happened in Ferguson and the response. You know, and I think, too, even what happened with Michael Garner, and what happened in that situation. You know, I, this is something that's very personal for you, and I know that it has to be difficult to see a story like what happened with Mike Gardner. But why did you feel as though you had to speak out again? Because, you know, I part of my issue has been, and I guess it's, you know, and it's ironic because I was raised a majority of my life, Carol, in Mississippi. And, you know, I have seen such a beautiful place here and beautiful relations here. Not to say that there's not issues that still go on with race and that sort of thing, but, you know, it has not been my personal experience. But I really hate the fact that everything is coming down on a racial line. Do you think that kind of does kind of blur the lines when it comes to having a helpful dialogue about these issues that you're so passionate about?
Very much so. Thank you for the intro, because my son was murdered in the same way by four sheriffs in Palm Desert, California, in a gated community in front of his home on a Friday evening at 10:30 at night, just sitting in front of his driveway in front of his house.
Mm.
Same thing, four sheriffs. I don't know, we've had three trials. Nobody has told me why they were there. Some, they said they got a 911 hang up. I mean, the stories that I heard in three trials. Well, we won the second trial, which was the Ninth Circuit appeal. The first trial was a total travesty. The judge was a former sheriff, a former Marine, and obviously was so to the law enforcement. And we didn't even get a grand jury. There was no grand jury called for this. There was
right.
no outcry by the community. There was no publicity, because nobody in our community, because we're an upscale, wealthy retirement community, wanted anybody to know that, go, oh, my God, this man who was a lawyer, who had no alcohol and drug in his system, who was an upstanding citizen, died in the same way that Eric Gardner did in Staten Island.
Yeah.
And there was, it was night, there was no cameras, no video. We had a neighbor who the police interviewed, and they said they heard my son screaming, I'm dying, I'm dying. like partner was saying, I can't breathe.
Right.
And they never allowed that in, and they didn't even tell us about it until a day or two before the first trial. And when we brought in the witness, they said it was hearsay, which is not, because dying utterance is, I mean, they just manipulated the whole system from the very beginning. Never even here in my valley with my friends, they didn't even understand what had happened to my son. So I never had the opportunity, which the folks of Dirk had, and now in New York and in Cleveland, where there's a community that's in outrage because they believe it's a black and white issue.
Right.
And I'm telling you, audience, it is not a black and white issue. It's a police training issue. It's an arrogance that they have gotten from coming back to war and then getting the presence of all these goodies that the government has seen in their inimitable way to present to them. This is all part and parcel of giving us, the people who are supposed to protect us, a feeling that we're the adversary and they're the righteous. And that's
right.
What's dangerous in this democracy.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad that you could share your story. And I want to thank Dana Humphrey for bringing your story to my attention, Carol, because I have to be honest with you. I, like many of our listeners across this country and around the world, have probably never heard the story of what happened to your son. Have probably never heard about the trials. I, of course, found out about it through Dana Humphrey, who set up this conversation, then was able to, you know, to do a little bit of research and to find out more about the work that you've been able to do and the reason why. You know, and again, it goes to what I mentioned earlier, and I'm so glad that you reiterated it, is because I think we do ourselves a disservice when we make it about race, because then you're dividing yourselves along the wrong lines.
Yes.
And so I think that's the thing. So let me ask you this. In the you know, since the whole controversy of the grand jury deciding not to, of course, indict the police officers involved in what happened with Michael Garner, has there been a renewed interest in your story?
Frankly, you're the first person that I've talked to in a long time. I've been very, very frustrated. We don't understand. I had a very fine legal team who stuck with me for 3 years. As a matter of fact, my first lawyer left me after 9 months to go as Team 6 and kill Osama bin Laden.
Hmm.
So I've had warriors working with me and not charging me. Warriors who thought that this was absolutely the most incredible injustice, and yet we've never been able to get the kind of press, the kind of, you know, of all of the last 4.5 years that my son was murdered May 14th, 2010, I have tried in every way, and people have said to me, I can't believe that you can't get your story out. You're so important in the peacemaking industry.
Right.
You've spent 19 years and my own funds and my own time to make sure that kids get trained and you have a better life because they've learned how to use their words instead of violence. I mean, I could tell your audience wonderful, uplifting stories of young people who thought they would be dead by 18, who are now lawyers and or have a family or managers and running things and head of soccer leagues and teaching kids. I mean, thousands of kids that have gone through our program communicate with me all the time about how wonderful their life is and how it would have been different if they hadn't gone through the Peacemaker program.
Right.
So about 2.5 years ago, because I was so frustrated with not being able to get anybody to hear my story, we did a pivot to create this festival. And the festival is a really important part of our message. And we were privileged to be able to partner with UNICEF and the Culture of Peace Foundation in Madrid and MTV and Clear Channel and Boys and Girls Club, and go on and on and on. The Boys and Girls Clubs are coming on this year, and it's very important for your listeners if they have children that go to Boys and Girls Club. This is a very interesting opportunity. It's uploads it free. It doesn't cost a dime. Everybody has a cell phone or a pad or iPad. We're trying to get Sony's donated 30 packages of software so we can do a pilot in the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, wow.
So we asked the kids under 8 and under is one category, 9 to 13 is another, and 14 to 18. And they can see these videos that won in 2014 festival on our website, which is www.psisandsamgff.com. And also, that's where you would enter and submit your video.
Right.
The winners, who are voted on by a very prestigious judge board, which you can see on our website, including Sherry Lansing and Vosa Rivers from Harlem, and Federico Mayor from Spain. The winners came to the UN and spent the day during the Culture of Peace Forum, actually in the General Assemblies, down there talking to the member state representatives, and then we get their winners their honors at the Dag Hammarskjöld Auditorium at the UN.
Right.
And it was the first time, and I've been working on this with Frederick, with Ambassador Chowdhury for years, that there were youth in the General Assembly listening and participating with 189 member states of the United Nations. And I want this to be a global participation from all over the world so we can hear and also give them a chance to have a bully pulpit of other people to hear how they would make peace in the streets.
Yes. What a great thing. I want to reiterate what you said. And again, this Carol was giving out the website, and we'll have this posted on our website at conversationsliveradio.com as well. But you go to psgff.com, which will take you to peaceinthestreetsfest.com. You go there. There you can find out more information about the festival, but also how you can then, there's some great, graphics there to show you guys not only how to be able to film your video, but also to cut it, submit it, and then, of course, tells you a little bit more information about the people that are involved. You know, the great thing I noticed when I was prepping for this segment with you, Carol, is not only, of course, the great jurors that you mentioned, but also, you know, the great time that you guys are doing and using new media, using social media, using the internet, and being able to bring people together. Is that because you realize that that's where the majority of young people are these days?
Well, yes, the social media, Twitter, we were very fortunate that the software company called Tagboard, and I want to give them a plug because they've been great, the Tagboard people put their software onto our site so when people go, they can see every hashtag, every social media communication from all over the world is like put there like on a whiteboard. So you can see all the people who are communicating across the globe about peace in the street. And it's very powerful because this is like an open global forum that we've put on that website. And that's very unique. And they were, you know, I met them at Social Media Week in New York last year. But, you know, my business is TV and web and mobile. We
right.
have three mobile apps that are already out there. Short Showcase is on Android and iOS. And the newest one, CVNet, which is going to be the first independent broadcast network on mobile, will be launching in January on Android devices all over the world. So, I mean, I understand this, that that's the way you not only get to the youth, but create a youth community
right.
that's across all kinds of lines, across race, across ethnicity, across countries. And that's the market in UNICEF's Voices of Youth, which reaches 3,500 individual youth every day, was a big help in getting the message out. And this year we hope to get more funding so we can bring international kids to the UN. I mean, the first year is always a difficult year when you start a festival. We
exactly.
we do two other festivals. We do Jazz at the Merv in the Palm Springs area, that's Merv Griffin's estate, and then we do the Short Showcase Festival, which goes with our TV show and our website for short people who's independent producers who send us short films. So we deal with young people all the time in our business, and I've been dealing with them with the Peacemaker. But I really think that the issue that we hasn't been touched at all, and what I see as regular media, is the fact that this violence on our streets is not racial based.
Right.
And we got to get past that because it isn't a divisive, it's everybody's problem. I know there's I've heard stories about people who are stopped for traffic tickets, not just people of color, just anybody. You say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, you could be dead.
Exactly.
And then nobody gets punished. How can we live in a community where we're a democracy and yet the people that we put in uniform that are out there like Wild West never get punished? So who's going to tell? Who's going to be their governor? Who's going to tell them to stop?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe there were 9 police officers on that one man, and all he was doing was standing there. I don't know what he was doing. He said, "Leave me alone."
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to my son, because I wasn't there, and they didn't have any cameras or recording devices, and it was in a dark place in a private area. I don't know. I have no idea what happened. They made stories. The stories changed. There were things they hid from us. They never had a grand jury. Nobody ever really investigated those the 4 sheriffs. And you know, when we went back for the 3rd trial, which was this April, so it was like 3 and almost 4 years later,
mm-hmm.
2 of those guys had been given promotions. One was a sergeant and one was a detective. So what they do in this police force that we have now created, not just ours but all over, when somebody does something that's wrong, instead of getting punished, they get rewarded because they don't want them to tell this real story of what's going on.
Mm.
So the way you keep them silent is by giving them a promotion.
Well, I'll tell you, there's so much work for us to be done. We've had a lot of progress in this country, Carol, I think you'll agree, but there's definitely still so much for us to do when it comes to tolerance, peace, as well as, of course, education, as you were talking about here in this case. Again, everyone, Carol Kretschmann has been our guest. She's an individual that has not only been a successful businesswoman, but really devoted her life to being able to the causes that matter to her, like giving young people a voice, being able to talk about the issues like peace, as we mentioned here, but also the importance of education, being an advocate for the demilitarization of the police, and being able to bring her son's story to life and so many others like him so that others know that they are not alone. And that, as Carol and I both said, it's not about race. It really is about the people, and that's what we need to be able to tackle. The big thing that's coming up for 2015, as we've talked about here as well, is the big film festival for Peace in the Streets. So make sure you guys go to the website that Carol mentioned. It's www.psgff.com. Again, it's www.psgff.com. That will take you to peaceinthestreetsfest.com. Carol, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, and I know others will be helped by your story and inspired, and I hope you'll come back. Would love to have you back on.
I would love to come back on. And just to tell your listeners that the festival for 2015 is open. We're accepting submissions, and it'll be open till July 15th. So they have 6 months to think about sending us a video. Let's hear, how would you make peace in the streets? It's so appropriate now because people are out in the streets, and that's what they want.
Right, exactly.
They want a peaceful world. And thank you so much for your support.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
And I appreciate everybody's interest in this situation. And you know how to reach me, and your audience can, I can be Twittered at C. Kretschmann, hashtag C. Kretschmann, or hashtag peace in the PSGFF.com.
All right. Well, we definitely will stay connected with you, Carol. Thanks again. And we thank you all for joining us for another segment of Conversations Live. There's more to come on the radio side of our program. You guys stay with us there. If you guys came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the podcast just a few moments after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. Head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. We already tagged Carol actually on Twitter, so you guys can find her Twitter handle on our page, so make sure you guys are following her there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.